want to talk to you a little bit about it. I had a message, but I'm going to have to preach it 2 weeks from today because it'll deal with how much more. We don't understand how good we have it in the covenant, the new covenant. We don't realize how good God is and what he's done for us. And sometimes we get to that place of where we do worry about stuff. And it's like, wait a minute. God has already done it over and over and over and over again. Why am I complaining? Why am I griping? Why do I worry about stuff? So, if you got your Bibles, open up to Galatians 5:6. Well, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And, I just believe that you would speak through me, with clarity and accuracy, Lord. I just thank you that it's not to, get people mad and offended, but Father God, that it helps set some people free here today, Lord, because we're going to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Galatians 5:6, if you have that, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. How does your faith work? Through love. You can say I got mountain moving faith, but if you ain't walking in love, it ain't gonna matter. How are you treating your husband? How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your children? How are you treating your family, your friends, and everything? If you are out of love, your faith will never work. And the enemy wants to get you out of love so that you're on the level where he's at. And he only comes to do three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. So if he can get you off that love walk, he's got you. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why I can't get results. I don't understand why these things won't come to pass. I confess it. I said it. I spoke it. I don't ever have a problem. Enemy don't want to mess with me because I know how to walk in love. I actually have to value people's opinion in order for you to get me upset. I have to value your opinion. Think about that. Can't nobody talk to you, say anything about you in any way unless you value their opinion. And if you don't value their opinion, they can't shake you. They can't get you off that love walk. And that's what they want to do. They don't know about Pastor Tim. I'm not going to boast, but I'm saying I ain't never lost a battle. Because every single time that somebody came against me, it started off with a lie. Every single time. And God will never back up their lies. He watches over his word to perform it. He will not back up somebody's lies, somebody's manipulation, somebody's schemes, and all these other things that you want to do behind the scenes. God will back up his word. Because his word is true. So every time that battle comes, I'm just like, really? All right, let's do it again. I took him down one giant. I can take down another. But God has done it through me. That's not a problem. People will lie on you. People will slander you. People will say certain things. Let them. Then it's going to get to the place to where you're going to be too expensive to deal with. For if the enemy be found, he will have to pay back sevenfold. Come on. They steal from you. They hurt you. They try to ruin your reputation. Listen, God restored to Job double what he had. And we are in a much better covenant. How much more is it better with us? How much more? Are you kidding? People want to come against the children of God. Are they stupid? They are. Come on. Galatians 5:13 says this. We got to demonstrate love. Faith works by love. So you can imagine if your car is the shell of your car is faith. Love is everything else that makes it go. And you can't go. And some people are trying to make it go with hatred. Faith and hatred don't work. It's still a shell. Love is everything else, the engine, all the components and everything else, the gasoline that makes it go. Faith works through love. You won't be able to power that vehicle. Whatever you're thinking about right now, that Lamborghini, that Ferrari, that 60s F-150 pickup or what have you, whatever it is, understand it will not go unless it's faith and love. You got hatred? Well, how do you know you're in hatred? The Bible says hatred stirs up strife in people's lives. So everywhere you go, they're going to be stirring up strife. You sit with a group of people, they got those people going at you. They're sowing strife. And the Bible says whoever hides hatred has lying lips. I'd rather somebody just tell me they don't like me. At least I know where you stand. But don't tell me you love me and then go and slander me. That'll get you drop kicked. By love. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, we got liberty and freedom in Christ, but it's not to indulge in the flesh. And though sometimes people may have done that. I've done it. You look. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't you dare get off that love line. You can make it to where you never have a bad day again. You get what I'm saying? You'll never, ever have a bad day again. No matter what the enemy throws at you, I know that God is working it to my good. What the enemy meant for harm, God is going to work it for my good. Why? Because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. Don't you dare get off that love line. No matter how tough we're trying to be. God doesn't need you. Listen, God does not need you to sin in order for you to win. God does not need you to step out in the flesh in order to be the best. You keep yourself on that love line. Proverbs 20:23. See, people will do certain things. It says, the Lord hates double standards. That's hypocrisy at its worst. See, people don't mind that you do certain things, but they don't want you to doing this. They don't want you backbiting. They don't want you talking. They don't want you saying certain things, but they don't mind saying it themselves. That's hypocrisy. Because what the enemy loves to do is disarm you. It's basically, if you were in the natural and you were in a fight, they want to tie your hands behind your back and just let them punch you in the face all day long. And then when you finally get a hand loose and get them a good one, what are you doing? Why'd you hit me? Because this is a fight, Jack. The Lord hates double standards. That's hypocrisy at its worst. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. If you got that, please. There is liberty. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Grace isn't so we can just continually sin. But when you're dealing with certain people, they continually sin and they don't even realize it. There's a certain group. I'm gonna just say it right now. Because anything, I said, you talk about people who are narcissistic, and that and Jezebel is basically one and the same. If you looked at, studied it out, I put over 300 hours into it, studying it out, about 5 months. But it's basically the same. And when you're dealing with that, you got to understand that when you tell them no, they will come after you, hunt you down, and go on this big old smear campaign and try to destroy your life. And then after they're done, they'll discard you. They'll throw you away. Jezebel will assassinate your character like no other. That's how you know you're in hatred. That's how you know you yielded to something, yielded to the flesh. Because of the fact is, when you're causing problems in people's lives, in your neighbor's lives, God ain't backing that up. But But what I will back up is my truck, because sevenfold is coming. Galatians 5:19 says this. Now, people talk about sexual morality. They talk about idolatry. You know, I said, but there's another one there that I want to hit on, manipulation. You got that, Galatians 5:19? It says this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what we're supposed to operate in every day. We don't do it perfectly, I understand that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And manipulation. See, people operate in this every single day, and they don't even think it. It says, even in that, sorcery, witchcraft, other Bibles, versions of the Bible have witchcraft, and then the Passion Translation has manipulation. Why is it so hard to just be 100 with people? 100. I know what 100 is. H-U-N-N-I-D. 100. Just be real with them. You ain't got to swindle them. You ain't got to try to get something over. I said, people use this every single day, and they don't realize they're operating in witchcraft. And then they wonder why their prayers don't get answered. I'm trying to help you out. Just be real with people. It's quiet. I'm just saying, we have an opportunity to be real. You want to see the supernatural operating in your life. God is going to put some super on your natural, but I'm telling you, if we're active, if we're out in the flesh, you ain't going to see nothing. We're not going to see nothing. At that conference, there's people saying certain things. I was like, okay, that was an ouch moment right there. Yeah. My goodness. But it's good to be corrected. It's good to be rebuked or what have you. I said, but it's also good. I mean, you got to understand, I take this seriously. I really do. And I really take it seriously because of the fact is that we all are seated at the Lord's table. And the man of God is supposed to serve the people of God, the children of God, all who are broken, who come to the Lord's table and sit down and eat. So they're waiting to hear from God, from the man of God, what God has spoken to them. But when Jezebel is in operation, Jezebel is just sitting at the table by herself with their boots kicked up on the table, having her fill, because she's not hearing what God has saying through that speaker. She's hearing what she's told the speaker to say. I'm so glad I ain't got to go off of somebody's email in order to preach. That's serious stuff, because they're always looking for some prophetic voice to be able to get their agenda across. How would you feel if somebody told me to say these types of things to go at John right there? Just personal. I'm just going to pick on you, John. See, I'm not doing anything that the Lord is telling me to do. That's just somebody having me to do that. And I'm saying nobody's ever done that. That's a serious thing. You get people up there playing around. See, when you get the wrong diagnosis, you're always going to give the wrong prognosis. Because Jezebel's a liar. The enemy is a liar. And you're thinking you're hitting on points when they're not even hitting on some of them. That's why it's good to go with God and the Holy Spirit, not what other people are trying to tell you. Because they ain't going to always tell you the truth. Because they got a narrative that they have to fix. They got a narrative that they have to stick with. The enemy creates false narratives around people, and they'll have people praying for you. You won't even know it. Well, what's going on with Fred? Oh, no, I heard this and this and this. Well, let's pray for him. Let's get a prayer chain. Fred wouldn't even know what was something wrong with me. What? What is going on? And that spirit will just act like it's the hero, but it's actually the villain. Second Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. The Passion Translation says this. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. And in Jude 1:16 says this. These people are always complaining, never satisfied, finding fault with everyone else. You know people like that? Just constantly trying to find the littlest detail. Again, the enemy loves to do that. They will put red flags up all in your life. And just come to think of it, I think I had some people when I was doing my barbecue. And it was right before I got into ministry. It was like the last month or two. The health inspector was coming in every single week. Every single week. And I'm like, but we were on first name basis. Hey, how you doing, Jerry? Good to see you. She was so sweet. Just the sweetest woman. She goes, well, we got another complaint. So, you know, but she would come. I served from 11 to 5. So she would come like at 4:30. So it wasn't during the rush. So it's like, all right. I was like, what is it? Like once every week. Why? Some people don't want you to succeed. But here's the thing. They can't stop what God wants to do in your life if you let them. See, all manipulation is allowed. All control is allowed. All intimidation. You can't be intimidated by no one unless you let them to. Let you. No matter how big they are. Telly come up on you, he may intimidate you. But no one can intimidate you. No one can bully you. You keep yourself in that love line. Remember, Joseph did that. His brother sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied on him. Got thrown in jail. Interpreted some dreams and told him, hey, remember me? Forgot about him. He stayed on that love line. God exalted him to the second most powerful ruler in all of Egypt. What do we keep tripping on that we can't walk in love with people? It's like God wants to get us to the next level and we keep getting stuck on that part right there. Who is it? What is it? Because for every new level, there's going to be a giant there that you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to keep yourself in love. God, I don't understand why I don't get a breakthrough. Are you walking in love with people? Are you living in unforgiveness? You can't move a mountain in unforgiveness. You can't fight a giant in unforgiveness. But they did this to me. Don't matter. How much more do I love you? I know you want to get payback. You realize that obsessing over revenge, that can be an idol in our life. When you obsess over it, that's all you can think about. People will wake up early in the morning plotting evil in their heart just to come at people. Let me let you know. I'm going to just give you some news. If you do that, that wasn't God you spent time with. That was devil. That was the devil. That was Satan. If you come out of prayer time and then you're ready to go at somebody, that wasn't God you spent time with. That was the devil. That was not Jesus. You did not see him appear to you. That was Satan, who was a zero with a brim knocked off. The devil can't manipulate you. Ephesians 4:27. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Don't give him an opportunity. All manipulation is allowed. You can see right through that. Lord, help me to see right through that. Help me to see those people's lies. People don't realize they might get caught up on a skin color. I don't want you to get caught up in it, but I'm pretty smart. I just didn't like school. It's stupid. I got to sit in this classroom and listen to people just talk. Come on. Don't we have a group project to do or something? No, but I do love those teachers that actually, hey, you can get this. I had a teacher in eighth grade that told me, Mr. Antrobus had lost his vocals, and he had a, way back then, a mic speaker in the back, and he was talking. But he had asked a question. I was just kind of drawing on my desk and stuff like that on a sheet of paper. I wouldn't vandalize. And he was asking a question, and he wouldn't move on until the question was answered. And I was just minding my own business. And he wouldn't, somebody's got to know this question. And I looked up, and I was like, and I gave the answer and went right back down. And he looked at me, and he goes, why are you such a flake? Man, if you don't, you know this stuff, but you don't want to do it. It's boring. Do not give the enemy an opportunity to manipulate you. Fathers, look at what Ephesians 6 says right here. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We're supposed to do that. That it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. See, children, there's a first commandment with the promise that you may live long here on earth. Honor your mother and your father. Then it says here, fathers, do not provoke. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Stop manipulating them. You're using witchcraft on your own children. Be 100 with them. Be real with them. But don't provoke them to wrath. Do not seek the treasure. Y'all remember that on Old Brother We're Out There? Come on. And it says, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Train them up in the way they should go. It doesn't say train them up in the way you want them to go.
That's right. That's so true.
Why do you think there's people who are still kind of dealing with that spirit of racism and stuff? Yeah, I love a racist. As soon as we do the transition, I'm going to say, guess who? That's going to be my next time. Yeah. Now we talk about, I was like Planned Parenthood. I said, if anybody's had abortions and stuff, I said, I thank God for those ministries that help people rather than condemn. See, you can't condemn someone unless you yourself are condemned. That's why we stay in love. But see, a lot of times we keep talking about shutting down Planned Parenthood, which is good. I believe that. But they don't ever get to the root of the problem. See, this woman, Margaret Sanger, has said that we need to hire 3 or 4 colored ministers with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. Because the way to educate the Negro is through a religious appeal. And we don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. I never even heard that before. So my brother-in-law had talked about it. Margaret saying, who's part? I had to look it up. I was like, what in the world? And say, listen, you may have some nice plush lawn and a weed may pop up. And if you grab it by the top of it and pull it out, it's going to break at the base. And then it's just going to come back up again and you pull it out from the top and it breaks at the base. You could do that over and over and over again. And you're wondering, why does weed keep popping up? We shut down this facility. There's 4 more over here. We shut 3 over here. There's 10 more over here. Why? Because they haven't got to the root problem. The root is racism. So you got to get to the base of it. You're going to have to get your hands dirty a little bit. And you're going to pull that thing up. And then you're going to hold that root up and be like, there it is. But people don't want to get their hands dirty. What are we hiding from? Remember the light? If I shine a light on you and it's dark, you can't see me. Denise. I set myself up for that one. I'm sorry. I said that. That was me. That was on me. My goodness. Boy, that was good. Look at what Proverbs 6:12, the wayward and wicked man. It says, here's another life lesson to learn from observing the wayward and wicked man. You can tell they are lawless. They're constant liars, proud deceivers, full of clever ploys and convincing plots. Their twisted thoughts are perverse, and they're always scheming to stir up trouble and sowing strife with every step they take. That's the wayward and wicked. And it says six things that God hates. Six evils God truly hates. But when calamity comes knocking on their door, suddenly and without warning, they're undone, broken to bits, shattered with no hope of healing. There are six evil God truly hates and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior. It's kind of like haughty, proud. Spreading lies and rumors. You know, gossip is one of the things that can just tear people up. Tear a church up, tear a business up, tear anything up. Gossip. Spilling the blood of the innocent. Blame Barrenet. Plotting evil in your heart towards another. That wasn't Jesus you spent time with. That was the enemy. Gloating over doing what's plainly wrong. Spouting lies and false testimony and stirring up strife between friends. These are entirely despicable to God. You realize Jezebel operates in that. It's witchcraft. There's always got to be some level of evil that is allowed. That's it. Because it goes under radar. Most of those things you won't even see behind the scenes. Now, how do I know? Because I said, well, again, the Lord put it on my heart to study that out. And people just think it's just a sexual thing. That's a given. That's an obvious. That's an obvious thing. If you see somebody going around having sex and creeping out 2:30 in the morning because of a late night call, gluteus maximus call, or minimus, you know that's obvious. You would see that. But what you don't see is the things that I'm talking right here. Revelations 2. We got to keep ourselves in love. 2:1-6. This is the New Living Translation. This is Jesus talking. Write this letter to the angel of church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patience endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not, or teachers or pastors or evangelists or what have you. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this one complaint against you. He says you don't love me or each other as you did at first. And he says, look how far you have fallen. See, when we repent, we don't repent over doing something good. We repent over doing something evil. So even when people don't want to tolerate evil in any way, shape, or form, you got to keep yourself in love. You know, you look back at the Pharisees and what they did. They drove that woman out, threw her down. That's what some people want to do. We're not going to burn anybody at the stakes. What's the end result there? Is it exploitation or restoration? Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. That means that, you know, that church will be able to exist, but they won't be able to. God's anointing, his power, no, nothing will be a part of that. If you get yourself out of that love line, if you don't repent. Thank God for Westview Church. Very loving church. Yes. Amen. They love this young black man. Yes. Peggy, one of the first ones to come up to me and scared me off. I mean, my goodness. Thought you was a close talker at first. But it was a love. Praise God. See, we don't tolerate evil. We don't tolerate Jezebel. Go to the next one, please. You got that? But this is in your favor. Wait, sorry. Verse 18. You got that? And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. See, when you tolerate, Jezebel basically is an unsubmissive wife. That's what it's talking about right there. But we know that there's a Jezebel spirit that can operate in both man or woman. Sometimes the studies I've done, if it's in a man, it'll be accompanied with an Ahab type. I mean, they're always playing the victim and sulking and stuff like that. They don't get their way. They're just always trying to rally people behind them because they want to get what they want. And it says, when you tolerate Jezebel, you will be cast into a sickbed. That means you will have strange and prolonged illnesses for the rest of your life as long as you're putting up with it. You think I'm going to tolerate Jezebel? Whether if it's directly or indirectly. It could be stuff that you're doing yourself or someone doing it to you. I truly believe most disorders, this is just my opinion, most disorders in this life comes from somebody who was narcissistic operating in their life. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel, tattletale, all that Elijah had done. Elijah whooped up on him. 450 prophets. Cut them all up. Burned them up. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me or more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. When Jezebel spoke or told the messenger to go tell Elijah, He got in the fear. See, the enemy wants you in fear. Anxiety. Jezebel is a spirit of seduction. But one of his main things and main tools is to gaslight. You know what gaslighting does? It's a form of psychological manipulation. What do we say manipulation is? Witchcraft. Listen, if you keep operating in manipulation and everything else, I'll just make sure at your funeral I'll play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Cut it out. Here's the thing. This is why you got to trust God. You don't believe if you do it the right way that he won't open up doors for you. So you got to take matters into your own hands. There's nothing wrong with controlling your life and what have you, but give God control. And I guarantee you, when you do it right, he's going to open up so many doors. You're going to be like, okay, which one do I want? You're going to see an abundance like never before. It says all of our works are going to be tried by fire. You want that? I said, if you were to grade yourself right now, What would you give yourself up to this day right now on your works? What would you give yourself? Satisfactory. Some people would be getting a U. I don't even know what that means in college. I mean, I got a couple U's and stuff. Good night. Think about this. And so when you're dealing with Jesse, oh, Jesse, I don't like Jesse. I'm gonna provoke the enemy because I want to see it come out. I dare you. Try me. Oh, Jesse. They get you into fear. Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation. They're cerebral assassins. It's a form of psychological manipulation where a person or a group of persons covertly sow seeds of doubt in a targeted individual, which causes cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is anxiety or fear. So they're purposely trying to get you into fear. Luke, come up here, please. Mark, come up here. Trent, can you come up here, please? Mr. Ethan, Luke, you stand over here. Let's just say you're the bad person there, okay? You're going to play the villain. And I've done this before. You can stand over here, E, please. Jason, come on up here. So let's just say you're in a group. Okay, Luke doesn't like something that you said or done. You won't submit to Luke or what have you because you don't want to be controlled. You don't want to be manipulated, intimidated, dominated. So Luke will come over here behind the scenes and talk to Mark, Trenton, and Ethan because they know that Jason is going to be seeing them sometime this week. And Luke is giving them some insight. Say this. Do this. Just keep picking on them. Every single day, they will have somebody trying to get at Jason. Every single day. See, so person A is going after person B, but they'll use person C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z. They will use as many people as they can just to stop you. And for here's the thing. It's a whole game. They can do this all day long. They will find your schedule, find out what you're doing, who's there, and then use them to come against you. That's how they're plotting evil in their hearts. Thank you. Well, how do I know? Been through it. Oh, knucklehead. But see, here's the thing. Being a child of God, and you understand your identity, witchcraft don't work on you. The second thing, so fear is the first one. 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at this. It says here, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. For God did not give us a spirit of what? God did not give us. This is one of my biggest, not anymore, right here, speaking in front of people. Some of y'all know my history. I failed speech. And it was the easiest class you can take on the campus. That school stuff again. But I was deadly afraid. I remember I had to be Martin Luther King in elementary one time. And I was supposed to read his I Have a Dream speech. I didn't show up. My teacher had to read it. I watched through the cafeteria windows. Kid you not. I ran home. That's how deathly afraid I was. And then I got this scripture. For God did not give me. I was saying give us. And then I was like, give me. God did not give me. Why on earth am I accepting this in my life? He didn't give me a spirit of fear. I had to repent. See, every time fear is present, faith is right there, man. You can operate in faith or fear. Matthew 11:28. The second thing they'll do when you're dealing with that, when you know that you may have that person operating in that spirit coming after you, They want to tire you out. Exhaustion. They want to get you so tired because of that anxiety when it's happening every single day, over and over and over again, the gaslighting in every which way, it wears you down to the point of where you ain't going to want to do anything. Well, you need to exercise. No, it's not exercise. It's the fact that they're wearing them down mentally. And most people, here's the thing, in those three that were up here, most of the time, they don't know. They're just doing it just to be nice. So they don't even know that they're a eunuch or a supply for them. They don't even know. That's why I said one time, I said, hey, don't tell me, tell them. If you need to talk to Fred, go talk to Fred. Why do you need, you got his number. You got his email. You can get him on Messenger or what have you. He may not return the call, but. Why do you need me to say something to him? Because it's a plot. Be a man. Exhausted. They'll even suggest you not even, or suggest to other people to tell them not for you to take a vacation. Why? Because you're going to refresh yourself when you do. They need you around the clock, people around the clock going at you, harping down on you. They don't even want you to take a vacation. Well, guess what? I'm going to take a vacation. And ain't nobody going to stop me. And if you don't like it, you can kick rocks. Y'all know what kick rocks is? See, I have to, got to make sure it didn't come up in Urban Dictionary, because sometimes some of those words are just nasty. I have to change up what I'm saying. But kick rocks is like Opie back in the day. Ah, oh, shucks. Couldn't get what they wanted. They're going to have to kick rocks. They want you to change. Narcissistic people want to change you. They never want to change themselves. They want to change everything about you that they don't like. So it ain't about God. It's about them. How selfish can you be? Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We allow the word of God to mold us. I can't act white. Well, I can. I can get the Carlton down. But I can't be anyone else. I can't be anyone else. I got to be who God has called me to be. See, I'm not an introvert anymore. I'm an extrovert. Now, I don't go out and seek out conversations and stuff. That's overboard. That's just too much. But if you do talk to me, I will talk to you back. But before, I would just, I see you across the way. I wouldn't even look at you. Please do not say my name. Second thing, it says, Matthew, it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Jesus is talking. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So we don't spend that extra time just getting on our phones and doing all this other stuff. It's just truly spending time with Jesus. You know, it says we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Can't nobody tell my testimony for me. They haven't lived my life. They haven't walked in my shoes. And you haven't talked with me. Because what the enemy loves to do is they want to take the copyright for your life, blot it out, revise it, and then present it to people the way they want to. My tongue, my life, your tongue, your life. And when people ask you about the hope that you have in Jesus, you can share that. Can't nobody tell my testimony. I'm not trying to sit here and be all individual and everything else, but I can't tell yours. I haven't sat down to get to know you. I haven't sat down to get to know Ken. Well, actually, I do. Matter of fact. Most people don't see your heart. and how passionate you really are. And when you get worked up, they don't realize that's passion. And they misinterpret it. I've seen that before. Call him my uncle. Uncle Ken. My rich uncle. So I expect to be in that will. That's what. I'm just playing. Come on. Third thing is depression. See, all that gaslighting will lead to a disorder. Depression. People battle in depression. They don't realize that they're tolerating Jezebel in their life. Do I not have that scripture on there? Proverbs 12:25. Do I have that on there? It says this, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. That's why we build each other up. We keep walking in love. Anxiety. See, they want to get you in anxiety or fear, and then it's going to wear you down and make you tired, and then you're going to end up getting into depression. That's why it's important for us to be continually walking in love with one another. He says, if you are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is how the world will know you are my disciples, your love for one another. That's where I'm getting at. Your love for one another. Build up. How are you going to tear somebody down who might be dealing with anxiety? And some people will tear down and get you to that place of depression, and then the last stage is suicide. You'll want to die. You'll want your life being taken from you. You ain't going to want to live anymore. And I'm telling you, that spirit in people, or what have you, that narcissist, the enemy, will love to do it, and they don't care how long it takes. They will just wait behind the scenes and just, okay, lay low for a little bit. They're on to you, and then they'll just continually try to move. Listen, my armor don't come off. I sleep with my sword in my hand. See, when you offend them or you do something they don't like, they'll hold a grudge for a very long time. But when they do something you don't like, they'll want you to forgive them and trust them in every which way that quick. Because they don't care about you. Because they just want to get right back to doing what they've been doing. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back. So how do you overcome the enemy? How do you overcome Jezebel? You got to do it in love. Listen, 2 Kings 9:30. I like this part right here because you ain't looking at no Elijah. You're looking at a Jehu. I'm not trying to self-appoint or self-anoint myself in any way, but I'm telling you, I said, I got some fight. Now, when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it and she put, hold on, go back, please. Jezebel heard of it and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses and he trampled her underfoot. You can go back. Go back to verse 32. Please. They said, who is on my side? See, the wrath of man will never produce the righteousness of God. Cold hearts and hot heads won't solve a problem. That's why we got to keep ourselves in love. You're fighting, you're coming against the enemy, you're coming against what's going on in this nation. You got to do it with love. Otherwise, you're just going to be an empty shell. Two or three. Yeah, Jezebel got voted out right there. Two or three eunuchs looked at him. These were the people that were around Jezebel all the time, eunuchs. Castrated people. Eunuchs today are men who don't carry any seed in their mouth and they don't reproduce disciples the way that Jesus told us to reproduce. Jezebel will produce Judases. All they do is just gather. How do you know Jezebel? They'll gather up intel for you. They'll gather up intel for you. They'll gather up information for you. They'll say those things in order to gaslight. See, you don't have to do that. You can learn to just say, no, I'm good. Because people don't realize when they don't say it, they're going to be doing basically 25 with an L. Because you're going to be in Jezebel's web for the rest of your life. Because if you do get out and you tell them no, they'll come after you. And they'll try to destroy you. That's why you say no now. Don't be going on some covert operation behind the scenes in every which way. God sees that. Think about this. If you're doing that, and anybody on camera, you're doing that, your organization is having you do that or what have you, understand something here. Your works are going to be tried by fire too. And they got you doing some dirty junk behind the scenes. They setting you up for failure. That doesn't sound like love. We should all want people to grow. We should want them to succeed. Yes. I'm not in competition with you. We are coming together so we can dominate the enemy and step on his feet, keep our feet up under, over him in every which way. But that happens by us doing it together. Not individually, together. I love that prayer wall on our church app. That's good. That's good. So good. We do it together. We got to equip the church. So I'm just saying, if people got you doing certain things behind the scenes, listen, understand, just repent and turn to God. For God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. We read that scripture in Revelations 2. It even gives Jezebel space to repent. But she won't. She won't because of pride. Luke 12:24 says this, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? You still don't think God loves you? You don't think that God protects you? He loves you, Dean. He's a healer. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a protector. He's the provider. Don't allow anyone to have you do something that the Lord had never told you to do. Just politely say, respectfully say, no, thank you. I'm good. That's all right. No, I got it, this meeting here. You can come up with some, I wouldn't say excuses, because then you'd be lying. I don't want anyone to lie. Just say, no, thank you. Don't talk to me. Talk to him. Don't tell me. Tell him. That ain't that hard. I'm good. Why? Because all they want to do is just stir up trouble. You can't come tell me you love me, but yet you're the one stirring up trouble in my life. That's the fake. That's phony. And some people will lie, manipulate, steal, cheat, slander, sow discord for a season until they get what they want, and then they'll repent. And then they tie this grandiose story along with it, acting like it's God. No, no, no. That wasn't God. God doesn't need you to sin in order to what? That wasn't God. He ain't going to have you do something that's going to violate his word. We're not all perfect in this. By any means. I've made mistakes. But God is a forgiving God. I was doing DoorDash one night, and it was dark, and it was apartment complexes, and I dropped it off on the wrong thing. I said, wait a minute, I don't think that's the right house. So I got it. I rang the doorbell before, and I left, and I said, wait a minute, that's not the right house. So I got it, and the dude came out, what the F are you doing? Start over. Start over. He came out just blasted, but by the end of the time, I said, by the end of that night, when I got the food, he was apologizing. So I ain't no punk. Had him not cussing, I almost had him saying a Bible verse. I said, I don't cuss. I don't cuss. Well, how would you do it? I said, is there something I can help you with? That's the way I would have came out. Well, I didn't know what you were doing. He changed it real quick. Come out me cussing at me. Start over. I'm going to give you another opportunity to start over. Faith works by love. Y'all ready to demonstrate some faith? Anybody in here sick, ailment, hurting, anything? Come on up. We're going to pray with you. Come on up. If you don't come on up, I'm going to get you and grab you up. Come on up.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.